We are going to get started in the Word of God. We're going to be finishing up, Lord willing, with the 24th chapter and covering most of the 25th chapter. I'm wanting to go through at least the 21st verse of the 25th chapter without further delay because I started a little later than I normally do, and I appreciate your patience. I'm going to pray and to go into the Word of God and see what we need to be thinking about. And let's get into the Word of God. Father, once again, we come before you ready to go into your Word just so we can be reminded of things that have taken place. We want to see your precepts. We want to understand the behavior of those who have gone on before, because we find that our federal head was Adam, and we see that there are those fleshly tenders, not tenders, those fleshly tendencies that sometimes still want to rear themselves up in our hearts and minds. But we thank you that you give us your spirit so that we can we don't have to live in bondage. So we thank you for your word. It is your goodness and your mercy that you left us your word. Help us not to be of a mind that we don't need it. For we understand that we need food daily. We might skip a meal and skip another meal, but our body will tell us that it is time to eat. May our spiritual man remind us that it is time to eat, lest we be emaciated and without power or stamina. Help us to covet your word and your righteousness. We're living in an evil time, and though I don't have to tell you, you bid us to come to you in prayer. So, Lord, you tell us to ask. So I ask that you strengthen us. I ask that you help us in our homes. There are times where even when we're by ourselves, maybe driving or in our homes, help us to fight against the things that sometime would creep up in these hearts. The Lord, you told us to set our affections on things above and not on things of the earth. So as we go through the scripture, Lord, we want to be strengthened. If it's that we need to be chastised, chastise us in your love. That's how we know you love us, that you chastise us, Lord. We see the pattern of how you dealt with the people of old. I don't want to say anything that is wrong. If it is wrong, we have discussion and help us to get it right. We're going to go into your word, Lord. Help us if we have physical ailments, financial situations, if we didn't make wise decisions, help us to get things right in your mercy. I ask these things in Jesus' name, amen. I'm glad to be able to continue in the Word of God on this evening. On last week, we were camped in, I like saying camp because it makes me think of when the children of God were wandering and they were supposed to make 11 days journey, and they went from one piece of land to another piece of land, leaving Egypt, and they would set up the tent of God once Moses had told God, how it was to be made, and they would camp and they would have these booths or these tents set up. And so I like saying that let's camp in the Word of God for a little while. Now I've lost my place, but that's okay because I know where I'm going. We're going to be in the 24th chapter for a few minutes tonight in a recap. And then we're going to move into the 25th chapter of Second Kings. How does our recap start tonight? Josiah was a good king, and he went out to battle when he shouldn't have battled against Pharaoh Necho, and he lost his life. And we started looking at various sons of his who would assume the throne. We see that Josiah was going out against the king of Egypt. Looked like he didn't want the Assyrians. If you go back and you look at some of the history there, which I didn't go a great detail into, it looked like he thought maybe that he could conquer some of the lands that was up north again to unite the southern what was Judah with lost territory up in Israel and trying to keep it away from the Assyrians. Well, you could look at that if you want to, but he lost his life. And then the king of Babylon, which we know as Nebuchadnezzar, he was exerting his power all over the place. I was talking about that on last week, but he had conquered or defeated the Egyptians, and it looks like what some would say is that maybe he was upset with what Josiah did, and so he showed some of his displeasure with maybe Josiah's son, who was the first son. Who was Josiah's first son to assume the throne? His name was Jehoahaz. Probably going to be pronounced differently, but I'm going to say Jehoahaz. So Jehoahaz was taken captive and was taken to Egypt, and that's where he died. So some scholars, I didn't say it, but in reading, I think I saw it and heard it last week, and I was looking at it again. So that might be a possibility, you know. And then once Jehoahaz, he was taken captive, Nebuchadnezzar, pretty much in power and having defeated the Egyptians, he sets up Eliakim. Eliakim was another one of Josiah's sons, and he changed his name to Jehoiakim, right? He changed his name. And at a point, you can go back and read, I'm recapping a little bit from the 24th chapter. Jehoiakim rebels against Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar doesn't like that. And it was around the second verse of the 24th chapter that we saw various nations, enemy nations that God had allowed to come in and to just pillage and destroy, if you will. You might even say loot the city of Judah. It's really, really sad. And the Bible says, surely at the commandment of the Lord came this, all those nations against Judah. Well, then it goes on and it talks about the rest of the acts of Jehoiakim because he died. And then the Bible says Jehoiakim was 18 years old, was the eighth verse. Now, it's controversy. I can't remember if it's in the Chronicles where it says he was eight. I did not mention that last week, but it says he was 18 here. It seems that it would be likely that he was 18 because he would have children. And if you just kind of mesh it up with this age, it would seem to be more logical. Anyway, this Jehoiakim, the way we were ending in the scriptures on last week, we saw that Jehoiakim ends up being taken captive. This is a very, very, very somber and sad lesson on tonight. But do we skip portions of scripture because it's sad? That would be a grave mistake. Because you know what? Life has, I'm going to say it this way, it's what we might consider pleasure times of that seem happy. And then there are those times when it's not so happy. And often it's self-wrought, but sometimes it's something that happens that we really have no control over. So I am going to go back and I want to read a little bit of this because I stopped around the 15th verse on last week. Listen at where I am. Dre, I'm going to try to read it, okay? This is 2 Kings, the 24th chapter. In the eighth verse, I'm talking about Jehoiakim, right? Jehoiakim was 18 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 3 months, and his mother's name was Nehushta, the daughter of Elnathan, or thank you, of Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father had done. You know, now I'm talking about skipping. I don't want to skip, but I'm really tired of reading that. And I said, Lord, have mercy. I don't want that to be said of me. And he did evil, and he did evil, and he did evil. No, he did what God said. He repented, he did what God said, and he pleased the Lord. We keep seeing this tendency. These people walking outside of the will of the Lord. Read, Gary. Yes, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father had done. Listen at the verse, the following verse, verse 10. At that time, the servants of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came against Jerusalem, and the city was besieged. And Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came against the city, and his servants did besiege it. And Joachim, the king of Judah, went out to the king of Babylon, he and his mother and his servants and his princes and his officers, and the king of Babylon, and I think I stressed and emphasized, took him in the eighth year of his reign. This king, I know it seems like I'm stuck. I'm not stuck right now. I'm just like looking for the words, looking for the words. A lot of times people will appear to be one thing. Look, what am I talking about? The royalty. This Jehoiakim, you'd say that, well, he's got the army with him, but he doesn't belong to himself. He's fully possessed. He is under the control right now of Nebuchadnezzar. And he's taking his family, and they're all out there ready to be taken. They're ready to be taken. This thing should not have happened. Oh, you all in Seeking Truth, you're so negative. No. No, we're just going through the scriptures. The people were negative. Let's look at what true negativity is. It's to go against the will of God. That's negative. God is righteous. Everything he does is right. The people did not do what God said. So he appeared that he could probably be powerful and so forth, but he was not going to even try to withstand Nebuchadnezzar. What happened? Nebuchadnezzar carried all the treasures away, and he carried those that we just read about. He carried them to Babylon. I'm going to read verses 14 and 15, and then we're just going to move on, and I'll tell you what my title is here in a second. Listen at verse. Let's go ahead with 13 and 14. And he carried out thence all the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house, and cut it in pieces, all the vessels of gold which Solomon, king of Israel, had made in the temple of the Lord, as the Lord had said. And he carried away all Jerusalem and all the princes and all the mighty men of valor, even 10,000 captives and all the craftsmen and smiths. None remained save the poorest sorts of people of the land. This was a sad day. A sad time for the people of Judah. Let's just remember. This continues with the narration. I'll add some comments here. But this is simple things to understand. God had promised them that they were not to be under, no nation would overtake them. He promised them. He promised them that he would fight for them. He did. I mentioned some of this on last week. But we will rehearse the scriptures, won't we? Yes, we will. Because we are a creature that will do the same thing over and over. Sometimes that's good. Sometimes that's bad. A creature or a creation, those who've been created to obey God, we should obey him. Over and over again, because it's good for you. God told the people back in Deuteronomy 4, he said, this is your wisdom. This is your wisdom. So do it when you get up. Do it when you're in the middle of the day. Do it before you lie down. He even told them how he wanted them to be, to conduct the things of the temple. Listen, when he said, I want the light to burn forever, that meant you're supposed to have... When I say this, this is one of the ways that we could understand the application of the scripture. You are to be enlightened. You are to have my wisdom in your hearts and minds eternally from generation to generation. Don't you neglect my word. You are to offer up a lamb in the morning and to offer one up at night all the time. You to keep the Passover all the time. Why? Because you will forget me.
You forget me.
forget who I am. You forget what I said to do. Well, this was a sad day, as I said. Listen at the 14th and the 15th verse, and we're going to move on down. Yes. And he carried away, this is Nebuchadnezzar, all Jerusalem and all the princes. I just read that. There was a 14th verse. He took some people who would be esteemed. He took, I think I said on last week, even he took the army. Sometimes we think we're in control and we'll find out that we're not. You'll give up more than you're willing to. Jesus asked a question, and you'll see it recorded in several of the Gospels, but the one that comes to mind is Mark 8 and 36. And I phrase it like this: what is it that a man, someone, will give in exchange for his soul? This is an eternal question. It's a question that begs that one thinks about the outcome that cannot be changed. You see, when Manasseh sinned, looking at that 24th chapter, he was talking about the innocent blood. It's like, this is the thing that has really made me mad. This is the thing that has pushed me over. I said, it seems that way, doesn't it? Innocent lives that are lost. And you can't turn this back, Josiah. You won't have to see it. But the nation has done a wicked thing. Well, and it says in the 15th verse, Nebuchadnezzar carried Jehoiakim to Babylon, and the king's mother, and the king's wives, and his officers, and the mighty of the land, those he carried into captivity from Jerusalem to Babylon. We read a little bit of Hosea last week, didn't we? Yes, we did. Now, I'm going to tell you what my title is, and we're going to pick back up and finish this particular chapter out. I've titled this for tonight, A Holy People Becomes Wholly Defiled. You may not like my title. I'm sure there are others that will be befitting, perhaps better. This is the one I'm coming up. This is the one I came up with for tonight. A holy people becomes, you could say became, wholly defiled. I want to talk just a little bit about that before we go back to where we were, because the scriptures are just going to bear it out. If you've read in the scriptures, we'll see how God had chosen them, not because they were a great nation. We'll see that God said it wasn't because they were big in number and so forth, but he called them out. He says, I'm choosing Israel for myself. They're going to be my people, and I'm going to give them my statutes. I'm going to give them my laws. And he told them, this is how I want you to live. He says, I want you to be holy. Peter would say, be ye holy, for I am holy. This holy means that you're set apart. You're not going to follow the laws and the dictates of other nations. Why? Well, because those other nations, they burn their children in the fire. Why? Because those other nations, they worship the sun and the moon and the stars. Why? Because those other nations, you have men having sex with men, women having sex with women, even having bestiality. All these things are outside of my order. So I'm telling you not to do it. Don't let your children marry theirs. I want you to go there, and there's going to be some conquering. There's seven nations that you are to destroy. Why? Because they have learned the ways of the demons. They have learned the ways of the devils, and those devils will influence you. And if you don't stick and stay in my word or be obedient, they will cause you to err. Well, this is what's happened with these people. So now we're going to pick back up and see that these people that was set apart and how God had told them how to live, how they chose not to remain faithful to God. They were disobedient. They didn't want to be set apart. They wanted to look like, be like, live like the other people. And as the Bible say, that he that of the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. We're going to see the corruption. That's Galatians. I think it's in the sixth chapter. So we're going to continue in this verse, in this particular chapter. This is how it reads. The 16th verse says, this is 2 Kings 24 and 16, and all the mighty, and all the men of might, and even 7,000, and craftsmen and smiths, 1,000, and all that were strong and apt for war, even the king of Babylon brought captive to Babylon. And the king of Babylon made Mattaniah his father's brother king in his stead, and changed his name to Zedekiah. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hamutal, or Humutal, however you want to stress it, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. For through the anger of the Lord, it came to pass in Jerusalem and Judah until he had cast them out from his presence. And Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. You know, as we were reading, if you remember, about the kings of the north, we saw that none of them were righteous. It was a sad, sad situation, because we saw some righteous kings in Judah. But to see how it, let's say, the candle slowly begins to burn out. We have a new king now, and this king's name has been changed. Let's understand something about warfare. When we look in the scriptures and we see that the king, the conquering king, would change the name of the people. That's like, you belong to me. Years ago, there was a series, and it was called Roots. And I don't think that Roots depicted everything correctly, but there were some things, of course, that was correct. And you see there was this one slave, and they wanted to call him, I can't remember if it was Toby. Yeah, wanted to call him Toby. And it was whipping him, and it was beating him, because they wanted him to say, my name is Toby. In other words, boy, you belong to us now. Boy, when I tell you to do something, you better do it, boy. Slap him on the back with the whip, boy. What's your name? My name is Kunta Kinte. My name is Kunta Kinte. He wouldn't say it. And I'm going to take your identity, and I'll tell you what to do. It's like I'm your daddy, your master. Well, Nebuchadnezzar, he has Mattaniah. See if I get it right. I start switching the name. Anyway, he changed his name. When we look in the book of Daniel, we see that there were some names that were changed. But Daniel would say, I Daniel, I Daniel, I Daniel. Well, I said, Gary, we're not teaching the book of Daniel tonight. Well, let's make a statement then. When we look through the scriptures, we see that God wants to change names. He wants to change attitudes. He wants to change characteristics. He wants to change that fleshly inclination. So when people, I'm going to Romans for a second. I'm going to refer to Romans. Romans, the 7th chapter, where you see the duality generally, not about Paul, but about one's flesh. Because one is born fleshly of Adam. But when you are born from above and you have the Spirit of God in you, he changes you. You cannot continue to live in sin. The Word of God says, if any man be in Christ, did you hear what I said? In Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. See, that's when you want your name changed. When the King of Kings comes in, he says, you're no longer this person. Why would you persist in sin? Let your name be changed. People want to say, Romans 7 gives you permission to sin. Then you haven't really read the book of Romans as you should. Let me get out of that, because I'll go into different portions of Romans. What do we see? It says all about kingdom business. It's really about kingdom business from Genesis until the end of the wonderful compilation of what we call the Word of God. Zedekiah rebelled against the king. He was taken captive. Let me say something here, because as I read the scriptures, it still looks like this king
could have repented, probably still would have had to endure the judgment of God. But it looks like he should have repented. Lord have mercy. When Josiah found out that the book was found in the the prophetess, she read it. He said, I'm going to restore. We're going to do what God said. We're going to do what God said. When you're found out by the scriptures, bow your knees, bow your heart, and follow the word of God.
Lord, have mercy. Holy people becomes wholly defiled. You'll see, hopefully soon, why I said that. We're going to move into the 25th chapter here. Let me go back. I'm at the 19th verse. I'm going back. This is what it says. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. For through the anger of the Lord it came to pass in Jerusalem. And it goes on to talk about how he cast them out. When you read this, doesn't it seem that time has passed? So that's some people. When they see the judgment of God coming on, listen, I'm not talking in pretense. I am not talking in pretense. Don't you see what Adam and Eve did? They tried to hide some mess. For real? You've been in the presence of God and you think you finna hide some mess? You think he doesn't know? For real? No, he made heaven and earth and all that in it is. The Bible says he knows the very number of the hairs on your head. The Bible says he calls the stars by name. Something within the heart of man that doesn't want to be corrected. It's within, I believe it's within all of us. But the Spirit of God say, bend over and take your butt whipping. Take it. It's therapeutic. You get your backside right. You get your mind right. And then you can live. Lord have mercy. Let's move into this. Let's move into this 25th chapter of 2 Kings. Time passes again. It says, and it came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, in the 10th month, in the 10th day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, he and all his hosts against Jerusalem, and pinched against it. And they built forts against it round about. And the city was besieged until the 11th year of King Zedekiah. And on the ninth day of the fourth month, the famine prevailed in the city, and there was no bread for the people of the land. This is a sad occasion. Now, I didn't go and look up some historical things here. I want to just talk about the obvious tonight, and then make some comments. Which is about 11 years passed, and this is a vassal king or a king in name here. Nebuchadnezzar is in power. The ninth year of his reign, in the 10th month, 10th day, the month, you've got the forces of Babylon returning, it looks like. There's three deportations. I used to have the years memorized, so I won't say them. It looks like there's a 10-year, then maybe an 8-year, then maybe a 7 or so forth. But it's somewhere around 5, I think, 89 and 605 or something. There's three major deportations, and you're going to see that they take the most desired, and they want them to go and work for them in their lands. The book of Daniel, as we've talked about, really talks about this, but they're pitching against the city. To besiege is to, when I looked this up several lessons ago, is to like encircle this nation. You encircle this nation, and it's as if you're, let's imagine someone whose neck has been surrounded by the hands of a big man, and so or a man with big hands, and you just choke it out. To choke the people out, if they've got food stored, the food runs out. If they've got water, a waterway, a causeway, often you'd see that might go up under the gate or somehow under the valley, then often you'd find that those other the nation that would be trying to destroy it, they might find out and then they would block it. So you starve the people. Well, I think it's even deeper than that. I do. They're pitching against the city. It sounds like they were there for a while. Let's understand something about cities back then. And maybe it's obvious, but I don't know who might listen to this. Nations back then would be fortified and they would have walls. They would build fortified walls. And sometimes these walls would be so wide and so high. That's why sometimes when you read in the scriptures that the gates or the walls would seem to go up to heaven. Didn't really go up to heaven. It talks about being up so high as to keep people from coming in, and the towers that would be there. They could see people coming from afar. My mind poses this question, why? This was never to happen. This was never to happen. A besieged city. I want to turn to Isaiah. You probably know where I'm going. Isaiah, the fifth chapter. I want to read two verses here. Now, we said Isaiah was one of the prophets. Jeremiah is one of the prophets. Hosea is a prophet. Other prophets. Yes, there is. But listen to what this is. Just something I want us to hear. You know it. Listen. Now I will sing to my beloved the song of my beloved touching his vineyard. Well, my beloved has a vineyard and a very fruitful hill. My vineyard is the people of God, the people of Israel, the people of Judah. There's a very fruitful hill because God has set it up. He's taken out the weeds. He's taken out the stones and he put a fence around it. And my beloved, I'm going to sing to you about this vineyard. And the second verse says, and he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine. Beautiful, 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 beautiful lesson this past Saturday about the rod and the branch and all of that good stuff. Here's some more plant talk for us, if you will, with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it and also made a wine press therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild, putrid, stanky, nasty, decaying grapes. That's all I really wanted to read. But just back to the second verse, and he fenced it. He protected it. He put the towers there that they could be watchful. And these people weren't watchful. If you look at Jeremiah, I think it's around the 23rd chapter, you see that the priests weren't doing their job. You see that the priests were just doing any and everything. You see that the people were okay with the priests teaching lies. You see that they had moved away from God, a people that was holy unto God. They become wholly defiled in that they throw the word or the law of God away. And in that fifth chapter of Isaiah, he says, what else could I have done? What else could I have done? I wasn't going to tie you up and make you do it. If you don't want me, I'll let you go. If you don't want me, I will let you go. Now, well, let's go back to where we were. So the Babylonians, the Chaldeans, have encamped round about the city of Jerusalem, and they're getting hungry. They're getting so hungry now where they had plenty. They don't have it now. Lord, have mercy. Listen at this fourth verse. And this, no. Go back to the third verse. If I don't get to where I wanted to in the 25th chapter tonight, it's going to be okay. And on the ninth day of the fourth month, the famine prevailed in the city. A famine, you all. That's one of the ways God said that he would punish his people. A famine. He would talk. Now, I might get this mixed up, but you'll get the point. He said that I'll make the skies of the heaven be as, I think he said, brass. And I'll make the earth be as iron or something like that. In other words, that cycle that we learn about whereby the water comes down from the clouds and the earth responds by bringing forth fruit and seed. It's like it won't do it when you have determined that you won't obey me. I will shut up heaven. All the promises that I give to you to bless you, I got some other promises. I got some promises of a curse.
God is fully God. And he never forgets what he has said. We the ones that'll forget what he has said. We're the ones that'll forget that we, like the people in Exodus 19, all that you have come down this mountain and said, Moses, we were scared to look at you. You were so bright. You've been in the presence of God. We're so scared. Oh, God, cover up your face. Oh, cover it up. Too much truth. Too much truth. But we will do what you said. God told the people. He said, when you get over there, I think this is in Leviticus. I want to see. It might be around the 19th chapter, 20th chapter, 17th verse. I don't remember. He said, when you get over there in that land, if you find it, Drita, if you find it, I'm happy with you. You're reading it. When you get over there and the blessings are so good, remember, I'm going to send you to a land flowing with milk and honey. That's an idiom for saying so much abundance. If that's not it, we're going to be fine. It might be somewhere down. Did you find it? It's okay. Because I know it's in the scriptures. When you get over there, it's like a land flowing with milk and honey. Don't get over there. I think it's in several places. In one place, I know he calls them Jeshurun. And you get so fat that you forget about me. Well, they did. Now, it says that the famine prevailed in the city and there was no bread for the people of the land. Now, I'm just thinking about Bethlehem. I'm thinking about Bethlehem, and I'm thinking that Jerusalem being the capital and Judah and so forth, and Bethlehem is the city of David. And I'm thinking about the bread. I'm thinking about Jesus, Bethlehem, city of bread. I think there is something there. And do you remember in Judges? Let me slow down because some you might not be able to follow me. Bethlehem, that means house of bread. These people were fed with bread in the wilderness. Jesus would refer to that and say, Moses didn't give you that bread. My father gave you that bread. And Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. What are you talking about, Gary? How does this connect to this? They neglected the true bread, which was God's word. Do you think when Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, that he was only talking to those people? They should have been living by the word of God's law. It would have been their sustenance. It would have been their nourishment. It would have kept them. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, the people who were never supposed to be hungry are without God, are without physical bread. Does it make sense? Does it make sense? I believe so. It's so very sad. Now, there coming a time, I believe, that they want to wipe the word. They ain't coming to time. The time is that they want to wipe the word of God, physical print, out of the land. They want to wipe the word of God out of your and my heart. They want to wipe the word of God out. And you know what? Thinking about the book of Judges, when it said there are people who did not know God, there should not be. Saints, that should not be. So I went back and I just talked a little bit about that house of bread. Now I'm going to turn to Lamentations for a minute. I'm Lord willing, I'm going to be going through the book of Jeremiah. Excuse me, I just almost lost my headpiece. Jeremiah is going to be dealing with the time when the children of God, what can I say? Get these kings to do right. Can you hear me? Did I lose it? We still good. All right. Now, Lamentation, I can't remember. It's four chapters, five chapters. I'm thinking it's five. There's some verses in here, and I want to turn to them. And so I'm going to ask that you indulge me. I'm turning to the first chapter. I want to read the first seven verses. And one more verse, and then I'm going to turn to the second chapter, and I want to read about three verses. Listen, why is this important? Because we just see here that there's a famine. We see that there's no bread. We see that, imagine the people in a fortified city, right? Imagine the people who knew of the promises of God. Imagine the people now knowing, oh my gosh, God is real.
Oh, he's real.
He keeps his promises. Yeah. This is some of the things that we see that happens. I'm in Jeremiah, the first chapter, and I'm going to read the first seven verses. All of it's good, but I'm going to stop at verse 7 and skip to, I believe, verse 11. Listen, how doth the city sit solitary? Yes. What did I say? I'm not in Jeremiah. I was talking about Jeremiah. Lamentation follows suit, if you want to look at it that way, after Jeremiah. I'm in Lamentation. Okay. First chapter, read about the first seven verses, then I'm going to skip to verse 11. All right. Sounds like Isaiah 1. And just anyway, how doth the city sit solitary that was full of people? How is she become as a widow? She was great among the nations and princes among the provinces. How has she become a tributary? She weepeth sore in the night, and her tears on her cheeks among all her lovers, Edom, Ammon, all these Assyria, she hath none to comfort her. Egypt, oh, nobody's to help me. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They are become her enemies. Remember the bands, all these bands that came against her? Oh, Judah is gone into captivity. Why? Because of affliction and because of great servitude. She dwelleth among the heathens. She findeth no rest. All of her persecutors overtook her between the straits. The ways of Zion do mourn because none come to the solemn feast. Huh? No feast? No partying? No joy? No merriment? Of what? All her gates are desolate. Her priests sigh. Her virgins are afflicted, and she is in bitterness. Oh, her adversaries are the chief. Her enemies prosper, for the Lord hath afflicted her for the multitude of her transgressions. Her children are gone into captivity before the enemy. And from the daughter of Zion, all her beauty is departed. Her princes are become like hearts that find no pasture. Deer that just wander aimlessly until their ribs start poking out, and they are gone without strength before the pursuer. Seventh verse. Jerusalem remembered in the days of her affliction and her miseries all her pleasant things that she had in the days of old, when her people fell into the hand of the enemy, and none did help her. The adversary saw her and did mock at her Sabbaths. Is that not sad? I don't think I have to give much commentary on this. But listen, Jerusalem remembered. I'm at the seventh verse. Jerusalem remembered in the days of her affliction and of her miseries all her pleasant things. You know what? I got to say something. I got to say it. There are those who would tell you that you can just live like you want to and God loves you. And that's a promotion of self. Because I made a statement just a few minutes ago that we don't like correction. It is true. Watch a child. A child does not want to be corrected. But the parent has to correct the child. Sometimes it's stern, sometimes it's downright, I'm going to get you backside, and sometimes it's sweet and loving. That's because you bring the child back into the right way of thinking. A child will kill himself or herself. Watch him. Just let him go. Watch him. They'll stick something in an outlet. They'll go outside the door. They'll cross the street. Watch them. They don't know. They have to get the instruction to mature. That's an earthly example. God is bigger and better. This nation, they starved themselves of the blessing and the nutrients that God would give them. But let me go back to the point I made. I said Jerusalem remembered. People will tell you that you don't need to be remorseful. People will tell you that you don't need to feel guilt. What? What? What did you say? You need to feel the guilt because you sinned against God Almighty.
You took what he said and you tossed it behind your back when he gave you life. You need to feel it so that you can understand, if you repent and turn around, that he brought you back, that you can have an appreciation for what he's done, that he could have wiped you off of the face of the earth, you, me, any and everybody, but he sent his son, coming back up, to the time that Christ walked the face of the earth after he was born as a child.
We all deserve death. But God sent forth his son.
I'm going there. We quote this a lot. I'm turning to it. You know where I'm going? I hope you do. Let me see what time it is. If we don't finish tonight, it's okay. Finish this chapter. It's okay. I don't think we're just supposed to rush through God's word just to complete. And I wanted to finish tonight, but that's all right. I'm up here talking and flipping. I'm not as gifted as some of the people who do several things at one time. I'm going to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But I want to read the other verses, because some people don't read those. For God, I'm at the verse 17. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, we are in the book of what's the book of Jeremiah. We're in the book of Second Kings. We're in Lamentations. We're here and there. But I want to make points tonight, right? We'll go back. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, I don't know why you want to stop there. Let me explain it this way. I think Ezekiel, the 18th chapter, will deal with this. How God's purpose is not just to punish people. He wants to get people right. He wants to wash you up. Now, when you read this verse right here, he's not saying that I just want my son to come and condemn. That's why he came on an ass colt the first time. Remember, they pulled down the what do you call those kind of leaves? Come on. The palms, and they say, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna to the King. Hosanna, Hosanna. Because he's bringing the conditions of peace. You must obey me. You must do what my father said. And then you see what he doesn't like. Check out Matthew, the 15th chapter. Start around verse 17 and read on down. Read the whole thing. But if you will not obey, so he said, I'm not coming to condemn. I'm coming to teach you so that you can amend your ways. Repent, and get right. We just say, get right with God and do it now. Get right. Listen, so when we see this, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Listen at 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. That believeth means who will believe and obey. This is a daily living. This is not a one time I said a prayer. That is not it. Our word, you're going to steal from God? Really? You call yourself a child of God and will live any kind of way? Really? Really? Read the scriptures. If you go somewhere and they teaching you that mess, which book have you? Have you read an entire epistle? Have you read an entire gospel? I challenge you to read an entire epistles and gospels, and see that you can live any kind of way. You cannot do it. Supposed to mature. Supposed to lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset you. Look at it. You're not supposed to resemble the world anymore. The problem with the people who came in the days of the kings is that they kept doing what they wanted to do. They would go up into the high places. They would offer their children up to the fire. Look at what God did to them. He judged them. Yes, he did. So, let's go back to this verse. He that believeth on him, I'm in John 3. I'm going back. I'm going to read 16, 17, and 18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not, who rejects. This person is condemned already, because they don't want to believe. Because he has not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. Listen, and this is the dadgum condemnation. The light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil, and they don't want to change. For everyone that doeth evil, that's continually doing evil, will not come to the light. Hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Lord have mercy. I should go ahead and read the next one. He that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. This is it. I know I went away from the text. I'm not even going to ask for forgiveness. I'm not, because this is the word of God. And this instruction is not really just to complete a book, though that's what we want to do. Is for us to receive instruction and to be reminded. It is. So I said, listen, so I'm taking you back to the thought where we were. There was a famine in the land. I know I'm not going to finish now. There was a famine in the land. And I said, this wasn't supposed to be. There was a fit city. And then I said, let's go to Lamentations and we want to look. And I was talking about turning Lamentations, and I was saying that they were supposed to remember, and yes, they were supposed to understand that they had done wrong. There was supposed to be a guilt there, but God is really a loving God. So I'm not finishing Lamentations, though. I said I wanted to skip to the 11th verse because I'm still dealing with this lack of bread, lack of nourishment, and this is their fault now. I said a holy people has wholly become defiled. We're going to see some of this defilement in just another minute or so. I know what time it is. Yes, I do. Listen, all her people, I skipped verses now. This is Lamentation. Notice how I said the people are gone when we're looking at Lamentation. Listen, all her people sigh. They seek bread. They have given their pleasant things for meat to relieve the soul. See, O Lord, and consider, for I am become vile. We'll turn to the second chapter of this book of reality, Lamentation. In the second chapter, I want to look at the 12th verse, and I'm going to read verses 19 through 21. This is the second chapter of Lamentation. Remember that there's a famine. We can read the scriptures and sometimes miss things. I know I do. And discussion sometimes just help bring out things. I was like, oh, I didn't even think about that. There's some things that we need to see. Even this was happening, but this can happen in the land now. This can happen in the land now. Let's read second chapter 12 verse. It says, they say to their mothers, where is the corn? It's talking about the children, right? Children in Judah, so forth. They say to the mothers, where's the corn? Where's the wine? When they swooned as the wounded in the streets of the city. Wounded, sometimes they lack power. Imagine so if I sound gory, I just want to give you an idea. Person that's losing blood, they become weak because they say the oxygen is in the blood, right? It's supposed to stay in the body and it courses through the body, giving us strength. And then you eat and then the body takes the minerals and so forth, all that it needs. Now you imagine someone that's wounded, right? Now these people are wounded spiritually because of what they did. Listen. They swooned as the wounded in the streets of the city when their soul was poured out into their mother's bosom. Oh, Lord. Now, I said, let's skip to verse 19. You can go read all the Lamentations if you want to. Deals with what happened, how they reaped what they sowed. Yes, it does. 19th verse. Arise, second chapter. Cry out in the night in the beginning of the watches. Pour out thine heart like water before the face of the Lord. Lift up thy hands toward him for the life of the young children that faint. For hunger in the top of every street. Behold, O Lord, and consider. To whom thou hast done this, shall the women eat their fruit. And children of a span long, shall the priests and the prophets be slain in the sanctuary of the Lord. And the young and the old lie on the ground in the streets. My virgins and my young men are fallen by the sword. Thou hast slain them in the day of thine anger. Thou hast killed and not pitied. I want to read this 20th verse in another version. Will you hear it? This is it. Look, O Lord, and consider. Whom have you ever tested like this? Should women eat their offspring and children they have cared for? They did. Do you remember when we were going back, and I can't remember which one it was, but it was in earlier chapters of, I think, Second Kings. I forget which one it was. Anyway, I'm not going to try to remember because the names are coming to me. But there was two women, I think, at the gate, and one of them was getting ready to eat her child. That's before this. Well, it got to that point. A holy nation that was supposed to bring forth fruit unto God. And you see the people start eating. Why? Because they left him and there was a famine. When you leave the word of God, watch, see, don't you do anything. Look at the world doing anything, and they'll try to give you remedy without God. Don't do it. Don't do it. Now, we're just going to go a little bit further because according to my phone, it is 9:40. So I'm going to pick back up at this third verse, and I'm just going to read down a little bit. Okay, here we go. And on the ninth day of the fourth month, I'm back in 2 Kings chapter 25, verse 3. And on the ninth day of the fourth month, the famine prevailed in the city, and there was no bread for the people of the land. And the city was broken up, and all the men of war fled by night by the way of the gate between the two walls, which is by the king's garden. Now the Chaldeans, this is in parentheses here. Now the Chaldeans, or this is another word for Babylonians, were against the city round about, and the king went the way toward the plain. And the army of the Chaldeans pursued after the king and overtook him in the plains of Jericho, and all his army were scattered from him. This king thought he was going to get away, but he couldn't. It's going to be really, really sad what's going to happen here. I'm going to read it. Lord willing, we'll come back to this on next week. Listen at what happens here. Listen at this. So they took the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon, to Riblah, and they gave judgment upon him. Can I stop right there? You're always going to be judged. You're always going to be judged. Best to be judged by the judge of heaven and earth in this universe. It's best to be judged by him. You're going to be judged by him anyway. It's best to be found in accordance to his will, his way, being obedient, so that when judgment comes down, it's pleasant. But what's going to happen is the conflict is that there's another warfare. I mean, there's another nation. There's another law, or various laws, various judgments, and they will judge you that you're not conforming to their way. But I'm gonna quote a little bit of what Paul says in Romans 12, and hopefully it can be fitting. Beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. And don't be conformed to all these other nations, to all these other ideologies, to all these other doctrines, to all these other teachings. Don't be conformed to that, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, that you may prove, that you may live it out, that you may be led by the Holy Spirit, by the studying of his word, by the living of his word, by being in it, that you have the bread of life. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Now the world will take you up, and it will show you different things. You could have this, you could have this, you could do this, you could do this, and you will be taken captive. You got to present your body as a living sacrifice. Don't live like the world. Well, I said they took this king Zedekiah here, and they judged him according to the Babylonian court system. Well, listen at what happens to him. And they slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, and put out the eyes of Zedekiah, and bound him with fetters of brass, and carried him to Babylon. I'm going to stop right there, but I just want to talk a little bit more about right there, because this is, I believe that's a good place that we can pick back up on last week. I really thought I would get further than that, but it's okay. Am I convincing myself that it's okay? What just happened as we went in this text? This man was a king, but he was not a king. Zedekiah is taken captive. He tried to get away. He's like, you can do all that. You can do all that rejecting of God, and then you're going to run away and save yourself. I don't think so. I don't think so. It makes me think of John. Say the John. I think it's Matthew 3. He said, now is the axe laid to the root. Buddy, stop. Stop running. Stop coming after you. Now, you got some sons that would be princes, but let me show you what's going to happen. This is the last thing you need to see here. Don't kill them. Zedekiah sees his sons killed from the enemy. He sees it. It's his fault. I'm like, remember when we were ending in the 24th chapter? I felt like he was supposed to repent. I felt like he was supposed to repent. Take your punishment, but repent. Let God see that your heart can turn. Take your punishment, but repent. No. I'm just gonna do things my way. Now look. And that's the last things that he sees. And then they bound him and they carry him to Babylon. Remember we just read it said Nebuchadnezzar's army, they had besieged the city. They was round about. I mean, he was running. He running like a girl. some women can run real fast. I mean, anyway, get off the subject. You're running all like weekly, like. Yeah, sometimes you need to run wrinkle if you can save yourself. But anyway, run to Jesus. Run to the Word. The last thing he sees. Well, say, Gary, you didn't get very far. Well, the Word of God's still going out. None of this was ever supposed to have happened. Yes, they would have had weapons to come against them, but they wouldn't prosper. Yes. In times of battle, in times of duress, people will lose their lives but die in the Lord. You see, the weapon, when it's in the weapon formed against you eternally, it does not win. Satan has some, there's some angels that follow Satan. If you read, do you see that they are reserved in the everlasting chains of darkness? You see? Don't you know that the saints are going to judge the angels? Read 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. Now, ministering spirits to serve the people of God. Read Hebrews, the 1st chapter. Read it. We're supposed to have God's spirit inside of us. These people right here didn't have God's spirit. You say, well, they could have the spirit of God. Well, what do we see about the dry bones for? Son of man, can these bones live? I pretended. Well, these people come defiled, eating their children. Should have turned. God still make a way. I think I said it even on last week. God takes them captive. And Lord willing, because I really want to go to Jeremiah. He tells them when they get into the land of captivity how to be obedient. He tells them what to do. He does. Well, this was a sad state of affairs, but it's the history. Do you think God wants us to forget it, or do you think God wants us to see it? He wants us to see it, does he not? Yes, he does. We're looking at all these kings. Who's king in your life? Who is it? Who's king in your life? You're gonna reject the will and the way of God? Are you gonna take the king's meat that you can live any kind of way? Are you gonna take the king's meat that is just in just a little prayer and then you walk away? Huh? You're gonna take the king's meat, go sit at his table, and then do what you want to? You're gonna take the king's meat and think that he doesn't have an army? You're gonna take the king's meat? No, I'm properly dressed. Do what the Lord says. It is living a holy life. We mature, we grow. And so that's where I'm going to stop tonight. Word of the Lord is right and all is worth done and true. We better be in it. He ain't playing. He not playing. It ain't about going to a building, putting on some ties and some suits and some shoes and just singing. He's looking for some changed lives. He's looking for some changed lives. We're supposed to be imaging God. Heavenly Father, help us to be faithful to you. I ask these things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to open up for discussion if there's going to be any on this evening. I don't know. Hello? Hello? You can speak. I didn't mean to butt in. If you are trying to say something, we don't hear you at the moment. I guess you would assume that. Hello? Oh. Thoughts?
Like when you read Lamentations, and there was a key verse 5, that the Lord afflicted her for the multitude of her transgressions. So, you know, that stood out to me a lot because, you know, they weren't afflicted by a king or an individual. It was the Lord was using an individual to afflict them. So that was one thing that stood out.
Yeah. Thank you. Anyone else?
One of the things that you said was about judgment. Mm-hmm. You know, and I was just thinking, if we reject judgment here on earth from those who are godly, Yahweh's judgment is going to be worse. So we should want judgment here.
The ultimate judgment
is going to be worse. So we should be glad if somebody is judging, if we're receiving godly judgment. That's right. Godly judgment or righteous judgment here on earth, because it's going to benefit us.
Feels a peaceful
spirit. Yes.
I agree. Is there anyone else this evening? Are they not on mute, are they? This was a sad passage of scripture. I guess we're just finna be sad a long time, because we're going in the book of Jeremiah and just looking at all this hard-headedness. And I think I said on last week that Zedekiah burned the letter. I was wrong with that. I think it's Eliakim who burns the letter when Jeremiah has it read, or I have to go back because I know Baruch is in there and some other names. But anyway, I was like, I'm not going to go back and talk about it, because Lord willing, at some point, hopefully not too far from now, we'll be going through Jeremiah, and it's going to be sad, and it's going to be what some people call negative. But that's where I plan to go unless something changed my mind. Well. Any Abdul? Yeah, it was sad. It was sad.
You know, when you mentioned something about why Quaytan didn't repent, or you would have thought he would repent, it may have been he wasn't allowed to. I mean, you definitely want to, you definitely know that there's a certain volition that one has.
Yes.
But I have lived a life that was outside the beautiful, precious will of God. And there are times you can feel a remorse, but not repent. There's some times you can feel some guilt and not repent. There are times you can know that you're wrong and you know I need to get right, but you're not scared enough. It doesn't affect you enough. You don't really care enough to do it. As long as you can still live and breathe and have your being and have your money and stuff like that and can still go and everybody think you're okay. And really you're not okay. You're really messed up all the way to high heaven and low hell. But what ends up happening is people look up to you and they think you're something when you're nothing, when you're absolutely a piece of you're just almost like a piece of poop that they have to clean up off the street. You know, you're not much. And you're just a damned fool. I'm talking about damned before God. I'll give you a biblical example. Saul knew he was rejected by God because he had been told by Samuel, "You are rejected. God doesn't want you anymore. God has replaced you with someone better than you." And you know what that rascal said? "Go out and honor me before the people. Just let me look good. Just let me look good in their sight. I still got the title. I'm still the king. I ain't nothing." But then we see sometimes he says, "David, is that you, my son? David, is that you? I have sinned. I have..." And you do this over and over and over again. That's the picture of a person when they're damned, when God will no longer be spanking the mess out of them. Look at how healthy that rascal was. Look at how beautiful his position was. Look at how things got to keep going on. This man got so audacious. He killed the priest of the Lord. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about the priest of Baal. He killed the priest of the Lord. And it didn't even matter to him. That's how audacious he got. Not only did he kill the priest of the Lord, he went and served a witch. So, by the time we get to this rascal by the name of Zedadak Gomkiah, by the time we get to him, he's already rebelled. They had already been told to give in. This rascal is going to try with his might to go against Neb, not knowing who Neb was. And so Neb determined, "I'm going to let your last thing you see is how great I am. I'm going to take your wife. I'm going to take your children. I'm going to kill them in front of your eyes. I'm going to humiliate you." And I can't say every way because I don't know if he had him raped, but he humiliated him. And I do know that when our ancestors were coming over here to be slaves, they would rape our people. I don't know if they did that or not, but he was humiliated. When you take a man's wife and children, it's bad enough to take the children, but when you take them and kill them and put your eyes out, You know how helpless you are? No handicapped ramp, no handicapped ramps, no white stick with a red tip on it. He showed him. So by the time you get to Lamentations, you're looking at a people that had put themselves in a position to be destroyed. Why? Because they wouldn't listen. Why? Because they wouldn't repent. Why? Because these kings followed their daddy. This is what they learned in their family. They learned.
Keep talking. You faded out. The last thing we heard is this: what they learned from their family.
I could not see that they. I remember, these people, all of them are family. All of them in the north are family, and Pekahiah, but the one that he told him, you're gonna die. I think it's Pashur. Everybody going against Jeremiah. Jeremiah was probably the offscouring of the world. I know personally what it is like to be following God's word, to believe in God's word, and the people that people listen to have people thinking that you're the one that's stupid. I know what that's like. Well, it was shown the very appearance of you and think that they're doing great when they barely know anything about what God has to say. Himself. And then you saw that rebellion when Mataniah got a position, wouldn't do what he said. And then you see, did you see the Lord, how the Lord has shown, I'll make other nations rule over you. Now, Nico sitting up and sitting down. So much so that when Jeremiah wants to go up against him, Jeremiah, you can't go up against my rod of judgment. Their time is out. Isn't that pretty?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that pretty that God has a day when I am through messing with you all? So don't think I got it confused because he wasn't going against Israel. But what happened is Josiah, you meddling too much. So the day you die is the day I let the hammer down on them. I can't let you go against my judgment. You my boy. But I could have stopped him from killing you. We just don't really understand sometimes how powerful it is and how a lot of things we do are so close to being in trouble. We don't know. That's all I got to say. Because it may be somebody else that got something powerful to say more than I did.
Thank you for your comments.
And thank you for your lesson. I like it when you get excited. I like it when you get warm. I like it whenever you speak as if it's coming from the first person. It's a beautiful thing to behold with my ears. Sometimes I have to read with my ears whenever I'm doing when I'm working, but this time it's like I'm really reading. And so this was good. Thank you for preparing for us.
Oh, yes, sir. Keep praying for me. I've just been listening. I've been, you know, not even just the kings. I've just been like listening and, you know, learning and listening and being reminded. Just so when I come to this, I just, okay, Lord, you know, I've been in your word and prayerful, and let me to say what you want me to say, you know, for me, you know, when I say for me to be reminded, rebuked, encouraged, whatever, you know. So, yeah.
That was, but when you said that about that repentance, I looked over there and I told Ann, I said, it might have been that he couldn't repent.
That makes sense.
See, if you've ever If you ever talk to somebody that has gone away from God a long time and their life looked like hell, sometimes they're on drugs, sometimes they left with children, been shot, been in prison or whatever, and you ask them, but you were such and such and such at one time, and you, instead of asking them what happened, if you could ever just think to ask them what turned you around, and they tell you, say, did you ever want to turn around a long time before you did? That'll tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
You don't always get the return. I just put it like this. They had so many times that they did their dirt, and God said, you're going to die in the wilderness. Yep. He sent the prophets to them, I think it's 2 Chronicles chapter 36 and 15, B times.
Mm-hmm.
2 Chronicles 36 and 15. But guess what? There came a time it was over. It was over. And so, like I said, a lot of times we don't really realize how much time we have before he says enough is enough. I don't think if Zedekiah had known that he was getting ready to be blinded, he wouldn't have done it. If Jehoiachin had known he was going to be carried into captivity that young, you know, because sometimes with you, you have a certain amount of arrogance. And you ain't even, you hadn't even learned how to war yet.
Mm-hmm.
And now here you are trying to run your mouth. So the real thing is that we got to realize that these things were written for our learning. And since they are written for our learning, some of us could be in the same place. You're still looking good like Saul. You're still looking good like Mattaniah. You're still looking good like Zedekiah till they put your eyes out. Just like a check engine light on your car. Well, you know, it ain't doing that. No big deal. Then one day, or another one day you're riding out going, and there you're in the middle of the road. That's what's going to happen to some of our lives. We don't walk with God like he's, we get these warning, you keep getting these check engines. Okay, let's spell out what you've gone through. Mattaniah, what's his other name?
Zedekiah.
No, I don't want him. I want the one named Kim. What's Kim's first name?
Eliakim.
Okay. He gets set down, right?
Mm-hmm.
And put out his place. Check light, check engine light. Then you got Jehoiakim, right?
Kin.
You got a chin and a kin.
Eliakim became Jehoiakim, and then there's Jehoiachin.
Okay, he get a check engine light. What's the third one named then?
That's, I want to say that's
Mattaniah.
Well, Jehoahaz was the first one. You didn't mention him.
Okay, we got four. Four of them shut down. Three of them shut down. Daddy got shut down being rebellious. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Granddaddy wasn't hitting on too much, was he?
Mm-mm.
So look at it. Look at it. You got dadgum Manasseh. You got Ammon. Then you come to Josiah. You got all these check engine lights. Every dadgum one of them. And they were ignored. And now you can't see them. Now you can't hear them. And now you're stranded in another country with no power and no authority.
Whoa,
I submit to you, that's a picture in that.
You know, that's just another whole dimension. But they knew.
But you
those language me. that you do not know.
You taught the lesson. I just went at it from the side that they had warnings.
Yeah.
And that's what the Bible talks about. You sat at naught of all of my counsel.
Mm-hmm.
You listened. You heard all of my counsel, and you were none of my reproof. I'm going to laugh at your stank tail. One day I'm going to laugh at your calamity. I'm going to laugh at you. I'm going to laugh at your calamity. And when your fear and your desolation come as destruction, and when it comes like a whirlwind, then you're going to seek me early. And you're going to call me, and I'm going to mock you. Look at you calling me now. When I called you, you wouldn't hear me. Do you think Zedekiah didn't call his name? Do you think Zedekiah didn't cry out when he killed the first child? Do you think that all those next check engine lights, when he went through all of them, you didn't think he cried out and he prayed and made an oath to God? And then the whirlwind took him away. The whirlwind took him away. Same thing happened to Saul. All those check engine lights, and then the whirlwind took him away. I love the word of God. It's so pretty. Well, I tried to say that's all I had to say, but I'm gonna let this be. I'm gonna try to do it one more time.
Is there anyone else this evening? Well, I am glad for you the opportunity to go through the word and be reminded. And my desire at this point is to, let's say, I'm gonna look at maybe finishing the chapter next Tuesday. We'll see by the time we get there. Once we get started, if the Lord's will. But we'll get ready to close. I'm closing out. But let's be faithful to God and let's pray one for another. And we're getting ready to, I imagine we're going to be listening to some more of teaching on Numbers. I went back and I listened already. And I may listen again to this past Saturday. It's like that's some good eating. So thank you all for calling in, and Lord willing, we connect. I'm losing my books here. We'll connect back up on Thursday night. Good night, everybody. Love you all.